from the letter to the Hebrews, and the 11th chapter, which speaks about faith. We're reading the first three verses, and then we're going to jump a little further on to verse 8, where we'll think about Abraham and Sarah. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is visible was not made out of, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then we move over to verse 8, where we read, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen. Faith, what is it? I don't think we can really find any better definition than is there in that first verse of that 11th chapter to the Hebrews. That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And faith is something that is very difficult, because we live in a day and an age where people are always wanting to have the evidence. They always want to be able to find exactly the proof for something. And yet a scientist would tell you that in science, you can't prove anything, unless, of course, you're talking about mathematical science. But we won't go off on that one. But mathematical science is the only one where you can prove something. Everything else, you have theories that as yet have not been disproved. And the sadness is that people build their lives thinking that things are certain. People build their lives having faith and trust in things that they think will be there forever. And yet they find that it's not so. We live in a very uncertain time. I think I'm getting old, because I look to things and I think how uncertain the world is now. Things that seemed very certain, things that were the norm a number of years ago, now have passed away. And things that would have seemed extraordinary now are considered ordinary. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, at the annual meeting of the Independent Methodist Connection, that I spoke 20-something years ago at our Grattan Hall Church about the whole armour of God. Now, when I think about it, the New International Version of the Bible was still relatively new, and yet now we're so familiar with it. But I read from it about the flaming arrows of the devil. And somebody spoke to me afterwards and said they thought I was swearing. You see, the Authorized Version spoke about fiery darts. And actually, flaming was a swear word. My grandmother would say hell was a swear word. And you think of the language which is now so prevalent. And my goodness me, when I grew up, it was shocking, but now it's accepted as normal. And that way in which the world seems to be changing, and changing at an ever quicker pace. We could talk about economics. I know nobody wants to, unless you're wanting to have a nice sleep. But I'm sure you had it here. There would be the days when there were certain mills here in Failsworth where if you got a job there, you had a job for life. You were set up. You were certain. And at the end of it, you might even have a pension and you'd be, well, wouldn't that be wonderful? And yet we've seen those days go where there is certainty in employment. My father-in-law doesn't go to church. But when it was his golden wedding anniversary, the local newspaper came around to take photographs of my mother and father-in-law and put a little report in the newspaper. And when it was there, my father-in-law, who doesn't go to church, his quote about being married was, he made his vows in church and he meant them. And although he doesn't go to church, he meant them, and so they've stuck through thick and thin. And we won't go too far into how much was, or which of them is thick and which one of them is thin, I suppose, really. But it was a commitment that was stuck to. And in their marriage, you know, my wife's here, she will tell you, she gets fed up. She stopped asking me, do I love her? Because I give her a really sensible answer. I must do. I put up with you. And I know that she loves me because she puts up with me. I was talking to a lady on Friday who, I don't know how many years she will have been married, but her husband now has Parkinson's disease and is actually quite embarrassed about going out of the home. And so, in a sense, it's meant that, to a great degree, she also is housebound to help look after him. How the day goes, we've heard from Alison, and there are little jobs looking after, helping him to put his clothes on, simple things like that that he would have been able to manage years ago, but now isn't. Now, there is love. There is love. Never mind your hearts and your flowers. Never mind give them a diamond. That's the commitment of love. And we live in a world which has been so filled with fantasies. So filled with, I don't know whether it started with the movies. Nowadays, a lot of the films are miserable, aren't they? But I mean, they used to have happy endings. And people got to the point where they thought life would have a happy ending. And that's built that people are always after something bigger and better. Where I live, they went through a phase a number of years ago where as soon as there was a new estate built, then people would buy a house there. and the house prices went up, and then the next estate was built, so they would make money on this house and they would move to the next one. And so they thought they were doing really well, making all this money, but it's tied up in bricks and mortar. And then what's happened? The house market's gone stagnant, and maybe with work situations they're struggling. And people have put their faith and their trust in where they worked, in, sad to say, in people who weren't reliable, in a dream that everything would come well and have a happy ending. But as people who are seeking after God, we realise that the only one who it is really worth putting your faith in is putting your faith in God. Because he will never let us down. And Abraham found that to be true. And we, you know, this chapter, this 11th chapter of Hebrews is just full of stories of people of faith. But today we're just thinking a little bit about Abraham and Sarah. And can you imagine, here they are. See, when I'm at home, I talk about the Aldis and the Baldis. Do you understand what I mean by that? The older people, the more mature. But, you know, in the Northeast, you can call them the Aldis and the Baldis. And this is where Abraham and Sarah were. They were at that stage in life where they should be settling down and just enjoying the fruit of all their work through the years. They'd worked hard, and actually they had got quite a bit. They could have lived comfortably, and yet God said to them, I want you to move on. I want you to leave that comfort, and I want you to move. I'm going to give you somewhere far better, but you've just got to trust me. I've got something really brilliant in store for you, but you've just got to trust me and set off. Where are we going? I'll tell you. I'll tell you step by step. I'll tell you along the way. And Abraham and Sarah could have turned around and said, we'll just stay here, thank you. Our travelling days are done. We might go for a week to, you know, and have a tent at, you know, for our holidays. But basically, we're happy here. We'll settle down. We'll just stay here. But they trusted that God had something better for them. Now, you know the end of the story, don't you? You know that actually, they never actually experienced all that God had in store for them. Because actually what God had in store for them was to bless all of mankind. And that would have seemed strange to them because the age they were, they had no family. And they were at the stage where they wouldn't expect to have any family. So what was the point in going on this journey when maybe they were at the stage of settling down and just enjoying the fruit of their hard work? What was the point in setting off on that long journey? The point was that God invited them to do it. Now, I do think they had an advantage. I think they had an advantage in this, that the world in which they lived, they recognise probably more so than we do how temporary life is. I don't know if you've yet got your August Connectional magazines, but if you've read the front page and the article there, if you haven't, I don't want to spoil it for you, but it talks about life expectancy in the early 20s for people in Nazareth when the work that's spoken of in that magazine first began. And if you don't expect to get beyond your mid-20s, you realise life is fragile and life is temporary. And that puts a different complexion on the way in which you live. There's no point in putting money into a pension fund if you're not going to retire. I once, as an accountant, went to do some work for somebody who was an alcoholic. He wasn't drinking at this stage, but at the height of his alcoholism, he had been... Him and his partner ran a very successful business, but they were both alcoholics. And they sorted out the pension scheme, and they didn't expect to actually collect their pension, because they knew what they were doing would kill them. They knew that if they kept on drinking, they were going to die early. So what they did was, they set up this pension scheme on the basis that the actual pension was rubbish, but the death in service benefits were brilliant. Now, I don't know whether it's good or it's bad, but they actually stopped drinking and therefore lived to take the pension and didn't get the death in service benefits. But you can see they saw what the fruit of their action would be, and they were trying to prepare and actually leave something for the family. They realised how fragile their life was and that the course of action they were taking would lead to an early death. But today, with the advances in medicine, we tend to think that we'll go on living forever. There are these people who have paid inordinate amounts of money to have their bodies frozen at the point of death, so that when a cure for their disease comes around, they can be defrosted, and then the cure can be applied. Come on, ladies, you've used oil of ulay because you thought it would keep you looking young forever. And we live in a society which expects to live longer and longer. Most of us have grown up with an increasing life expectancy. And so actually preparing and thinking about something that is beyond that doesn't really come into it. But Abraham realized that earth, this life, was actually temporary. It would be for a time, he didn't know how long, but it was temporary. And he was prepared to follow God. And yes, he actually set off from his home and he went on his way and he lived in a tent. Now, hearing Alison, I'm sure it was wonderful to go camping with the children. Well, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but they enjoyed themselves anyway, so that was good. But can you imagine if it tosses it down with rain, what it's like in a tent? Can you imagine if the wind's blowing in the night, what it's like? Isn't it wonderful, these lovely sunny days we've had, but how hot the tent would get? How early in the morning the sun would rise? Isn't that nice with little ones? And then trying to get them to go to sleep at night when it's still light. Well, when they set off, Abraham and Sarah didn't have that particular problem. But actually, to go in that temporary tent, it spoke of their realization that this earthly life is temporary. But Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was prepared to put up with those windy nights and those wet nights and the misery of taking the tent down and carrying it to the next place and putting it up. And he was prepared to put up with all of that because he knew that this life was only temporary. But actually, there was a life that was to come. A life that he actually began straight away when he stepped out in faith. A life of following God and a life of being in God's presence. But ultimately it would lead to a secure, a permanent home, a city whose architect and builder is God. And I wonder for us, they say home is where the heart is. Just think, what do you speak about as home? I talk about my hometown of Seaham. When my parents still lived in the house I was brought up in, that was still home to me. Even though I had a home of my own, while my mother and father were ever in that house, their house was also my home. Of course, where I live is home. I talk about the church that I belong to as home. Where is home? Home is where the heart is. And surely, our ultimate home, we are destined to have a home forever with God in eternity. But it requires us to set off on that journey of faith. It may not be that we move from our house. For most people, it won't be that we move from our house. For most people, it won't be that we move from the neighbourhood where we live. But in faith, we need to begin that journey with God. To realise that this earthly life is only temporary. And actually, the more important things are not preparing for our pension or preparing for our funeral or preparing what we'll leave to our children. One of them's here anyway, so she knows. I've tried to provide for her. Now, when I'm gone, she should have had enough chance to make her own way. She's had her time now. If I've got anything to leave, I'll leave it to the grandchildren, but I don't want them to come for quite a while yet. But you understand what I mean. What are our lives about? Are they about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven? Depends which particular gospel that we're reading as to whether it speaks of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But actually, whichever one, we're not about a church building. We're about establishing the rule of God, the reign of God on earth while we're here, because we need to get used to it, because that's where we're going. And so where we are and what we do should show, just as it was with Abraham, that we're aliens and foreigners in this land. Now, obviously, when I come to Failsworth, I am an alien and a foreigner. But you know what I mean? That this world is but a temporary home. And while we're here, we're called upon by faith to establish outposts of God's kingdom. Why? Because we belong to that other world. In the days of the British Empire, it was the case that you could go to different places around the world and you would find that it was very much like Britain. The expats used to try and do everything in such a British way. And so you would seem, probably apart from the weather, you would seem as though you were at home, even though you were in a foreign land. Perhaps you've been to those holiday resorts where real English fish and chips, genuine British pub, or whatever it might be, is there. Well, you see, when this letter was written to the Hebrews, they knew what it was for the Roman Empire to have these outposts scattered around the then known world. They knew what it was for Rome to actually exist, for all the trappings of Rome to exist in foreign lands. And so these Hebrews knew that they were living in uncertain times, but they had been called upon to look beyond this temporary life to the life which is beyond. Not to be so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good, but to prepare for heaven by bringing it here on earth. And so by faith, Abraham set out on that journey. By faith, he lived that life which was so temporary, so changing as time went on, never in the same place for too long, knowing that there was a permanent place for him. And knowing that God had great things. Even though he had no family when he set off, he believed God. And God granted a family which was to bless the whole of mankind. The family from which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'm not quite sure why we spend so much time sitting in church, because the Christian life is not about sitting. The Christian life is about being on a journey. I hope and pray that each one of us are on that journey of faith. Not trusting in the things that we see around us, but trusting in God's word and what God has called us to do. And that each one of us know that we have a place, a permanent place waiting for us in heaven. And if you don't know that there is that permanent place waiting for you, then please don't go away from the church this morning without talking to somebody about finding out about that assurance that you can have, that confirmation that actually God has a place for you in the city whose architect and builder is God. Amen.